So Mark chapter 6, and we are looking at verses 30 through 44. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. So hear ye then the word of the Lord. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever and ever. Father, we do thank you, O Lord, for thy holy word. Grant us greater understanding by your Holy Spirit. Quicken it to our hearts, so Lord, we might hear and walk in accordance with your word and will. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, of course, we come to one of the most well-known and beloved miracles of the entire New Testament, done by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is recorded in all 4 gospel accounts as well. It is a miracle that demonstrates the power of Christ over nature itself, over nature, such as when he calmed the storm. Remember, he calmed the storm. When he spoke and the winds and the waves obeyed him, immediately obeyed him. Well, historically, as usual, the liberals or progressive theologians of the day, they deny, of course, the miraculous altogether, the miraculous of any kind, and they will simply say this: well, Jesus must have had someone handing him loaves behind his back and fish behind his back through his garment and behind him. Yeah, 5,000 people are not going to pick up on that, all right? But they try to say, well, they must have been passing it to him from behind. You know, here you go, here's another one, nothing like that, so... No, that's a bit ridiculous. They teach and they react as if Jesus, the Son of God, would try to deceive the people. And the disciples would have seen this kind of a deception. They certainly would have recognized the deception, and they would have pointed it out to everyone, and they would have rejected him. They certainly would never have laid down their lives for a lie. They would never have done that. Rather, this feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children, by the way, was a very, very notable miracle. And in fact, some will start following him just to get a free meal, as I've mentioned in the past. But here we see the great mercy and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ toward his disciples, but also toward the multitudes who are out there with him late into the day. And they've been listening to his teachings. Jesus is, of course, a good shepherd of the sheep, and he is a compassionate shepherd. He is our compassionate shepherd, and he cares for you and me. He cares for us, and he will shepherd you in your daily life far more than a piece of bread and a couple of fish. What he does for you as a people of God in Christ. A little bit of background. Last time we saw the very decadent party, if you will, the birthday party of Herod Antipas and the deadly dance of Salome, right? Herodias' daughter, which resulted in the death of John the Baptist. And so now it's time for a retreat, a time for refreshing. But the crowds, have come again. They keep on coming. The crowds are there. Thousands will come. And Christ will still have compassion for all of them. For all of them, he does, has compassion. Leading us to see, first of all, in verses 30 through 34, Christ here shepherds his apostles. He shepherds his apostles. I read, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And so here they come from all the journeying about around them, right? Journeying, so here. And they have been preaching, these disciples, preaching and teaching the kingdom of God, as Christ has told them and instructed them. They've been healing the sick. They've been casting out devils as they were commanded and given authority by Christ to do. So they've been very, very busy in the work, and they have no time at all to recover from this. And so Jesus knows that now they really can understand. They are really tired. They are really beat, and they can understand just a little bit of what Jesus has been enduring himself. And so Jesus really does feel for them at this. And he tells them, basically in our own, how shall we say, our own colloquial language today, let's go get away for a while. Right? For us, we probably say, let's go to the beach, let's go to the mountains, let's get away from it all, wherever it might be. All right, so they do. They go out into the wilderness to a desolate place where they can go and find some rest, okay, and have a bite to eat before they continue on. Now, if you remember, God gave the Israelites means. Remember, God provided what for them in the wilderness? Manna. He gave them bread from heaven, really a bread from heaven that pointed to the true manna, the true bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he gave them manna in the wilderness, in the desert. And so Jesus will feed Israel in the same kind of manner. All right? Jesus here is going to do this. But in the meantime, his disciples need some quiet time. They need some quiet time. They need some rest. He knows this and he cares for them. And so Jesus does instruct them. They need both physical and they need spiritual renewal and refreshing. In verse 32, and they went away into the boat to a desolate place by themselves. This is the third boat ride, by the way, of those people who keep tabs on that. Third boat ride together. However, there was a problem. People saw them leave. Now, apparently, they are following along the shoreline looking for a place to get away for a while, to have a break. But people saw them leave, we read. Now, many saw them going and recognized them. They ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So they did not go all the way out into the depths of the Sea of Galilee. They didn't try to cross the Sea of Galilee, which would be 20 miles, and nobody's going to run that fast. But they did look for a place nearby. So they are following along the shoreline, apparently looking for a place to get alone for a bit. And so the people, seeing that and recognizing them, ran after them to get there first. And they do. They get there first, and they're waiting for them as they get off the boat. Now, Luke tells us that they landed near Bethesda. Okay, that was a little east from where they were, just a little bit east, a little bit further. Apparently, according to one commentator, the feeding of the 5,000 was near Capernaum, not too far from Capernaum. And in the 4th century A.D., a chapel would be built there, which today is called the Church of the Multiplication. Multiplying what? The loaves, all right, and the fish. Okay, the Church of the Multiplication. Not getting out your multiplication tables, all right. Then in verse 34, we read, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. They probably saw them running ahead along the shoreline. They probably could see them running over there, but he didn't say, let's maybe go out toward the deep end or something. He didn't do that. They do pull in. Now, you might think that Jesus and the disciples might be a bit flabbergasted. They may be frustrated. We're trying to get some time alone, a little bit of a break time here, because they did need a break. Even for if it's just for a moment, they needed a break. But Jesus, thankfully, is not upset. He is not upset at all. He doesn't chastise them. He's not flabbergasted. Rather, he has compassion for them, especially those that just ran all the way over there. I mean, he has compassion for them. And so they are there waiting to meet them. So seeing them, he notices, man, these folks are like sheep without a shepherd. They're scattered about like sheep. And so he recognizes that. And so in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 27, Moses prayed to the Lord there. He prayed for Joshua. And he prayed this, that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Moses prayed the same thing for the leadership of Joshua. And so the leaders and the kings in Israel were often compared to shepherds. And you can see that in Ezekiel 34. We're told there, without a shepherd, the people will be scattered and devoured by wild animals. And so picture that as far as the meaning behind that for the people. The shepherd was there to feed the flocks. The shepherd was there to protect their flocks. And so the Messiah to come was to be the shepherd, the good shepherd over God's people. And that is who Jesus Christ is. He is the good shepherd. He is that epitome of the shepherd of all the Old Testament, finding their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so their worldly leaders will not shepherd them, but Jesus will. Okay, even the leaders, the religious leaders of that day would not shepherd the people of God, but they will fleece the flock. And while they may fleece the flock, Jesus cares for them, even as he cares for you and me. He cares for us. Even when we don't realize what he's doing for us sometimes during the day, he is still doing things for you throughout the day by his Holy Spirit. But he has great compassion. He loves you. He cares for you. Even as these who are scattered about running amok all over the place like sheep without a shepherd, he tells us, I am your good shepherd. And he is the one who cares for us, which leads us to our second point, verses 35 through 41. Because here we do see the good shepherd not only taking the time to care, to show this compassion and feed his disciples, if you will, but he feeds his flock. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, all right? And the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Now, so far, Jesus has been feeding them the word of God. He has been giving them spiritual nourishment. He was teaching them those things about and concerning the kingdom of God and his work that he needs to do there for them. But they are feeding upon the manna of God's word, and they have been. After all, Jesus is the true manna, the true bread of life, the bread of heaven. But it's already late now. Okay, it's late afternoon. It's late afternoon, and the people are growing physically hungry. He doesn't want them passing out along the way. He's concerned about them. Their bellies may be beginning to roll and make noises, such as some of y'all when it starts getting close to 12 o'clock or 11 o'clock now, and you begin to look at somebody next to you and said, don't do that. But anyway, he knows that their bellies are starting to get hungry. He can probably hear some of that, like coyotes howling in the desert, all right? You can hear, I think they're hungry. You need to feed them, okay? So the disciples see it, and they are concerned about these crowds, which is a good thing. Jesus said, basically, you need to send them away, he said. They've got to get something to eat. Their wives and their children, they need sustenance. We don't want them passing out along their way, and Jesus doesn't want that either. But Jesus knows. He already knows all this, and he has a better idea. He has a far better plan. Look at verse 37. He tells them, you go and give them something to eat. You do that. That is my plan. You go feed them. Feed these sheep out there. Go out there and do that. Now, I imagine for the 12 disciples that are there, it's kind of a shocker for them. You go feed them. They said, well, we don't have anything. You go feed them and you take care of that. Because they don't have that kind of money upon them. 200 denarii, all right? They don't have that kind of money. They don't have a truckload of RBs on hand ready to pass out and disseminate to the crowd. And so they rationalize it. They rationalize it, and they remember that they don't know what Jesus is about to do. And they said to him, shall we go then and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? Now, they don't have the money, so maybe they're being a little bit sarcastic. So, shall we go and spend 200 denarii? Now, realize, one denarius is one full day's wage. So that's 200 days' wages that they're talking about. 200 work days of money. So one day's wage That would be equivalent today to close to about $10,000 for that time period, just to give you an idea. It does not mean that they have that much money on hand and they're to go out and begin to try to purchase all the bread in town. But they are speaking in this manner. Surely you don't mean that we should go and spend 200 denarii for food. Of course not. Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. In other words, go and take a look at what you do have and give me a report. Give me a breakdown of what you do have. And when they found out, they said, very short and sweet, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Sounds like a winner. 5 and 2 fish. Not exactly a buffet, or some may say buffet, all right, but not exactly a buffet. It's certainly not enough for well over 5,000 people, even though it may be good enough for a couple. But the disciples know we don't have enough food for this great crowd. There's simply not enough for all these people. Well, Jesus is not discouraged by the lack of food, for this is going to provide an opportunity that nobody there will ever forget. Look at verses 39 through 41. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, which has been done before like that in the Old Testament. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing and he broke their loaves and gave them to disciples. Those 5 loaves of bread, he gave them to set it down before the people, and he divided the 2 fish among them. Cut those 2 fish in 5,000 plus pieces. Each one had a scale, I suppose. That wouldn't be enough for them, right? Now, why sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties? Well, it makes it a little bit nice for dining groups, right? A little bit more fellowship that way, a little bit easier to disseminate the food to them as well. Think of a good fellowship meal, right? That's what kind of along those lines. Now, back in the days of Moses, after the Israelites had been in the wilderness for a while, they grew hungry, and when they get hungry, they started to do what? They started to forget. They forget about the slavery they had in Egypt, and they began longing for the dainties that they had left behind. Remember the garlic and the leeks and onions and all that good stuff? They said, man, we had it made. We had onions and garlic and leeks and stuff, So they really missed all that now, back in the Old Testament in the days of Moses. Well, Moses prayed to the Lord, and God, they wanted meat. So God gave them meat, and God sent quail, and they had quail up to 6 feet deep, essentially. But they ate, and they ate, and they ate until they couldn't eat anymore. They became sick of it all. And what is the point of all that? God fed the multitudes before, even with their ingratitude, and God can do it again. And here Christ, the Son of God, will feed them in the wilderness out here before him. He prayed and he gives thanks and he broke the bread and he divided the fish and the 12 distributed it all out basket by basket. Why 12 baskets? The 12 disciples. Nice and easy, right? 12 baskets, 12 disciples. And so they take those baskets and they go out person by person by person, and nobody at first seemed to even notice what happened. They didn't really notice what happened. There was no fanfare. They didn't announce. They didn't stop and say, behold, he is about to make bread. He didn't know fanfare at all. They just distributes it. They pass it out. And the 12 baskets, which had the broken pieces in them, they are being multiplied and constantly being distributed more and more. And even the disciples are probably noticing, like, you know, the baskets are still full. Or next group of 50s and 100s, and they get the basket back for the next one, and it's still full. And they keep going around, and it's still full. But the miracle is taking place, but the reality of it will eventually set in, but not at first. But by the power of Christ Jesus, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish will thoroughly feed over 5,000 men, up to 20,000 people, and counting women and children. So up to 15 to 20,000 people. That is a notable miracle. That is a miracle in all 4 gospel accounts. That was very notable. And so then we see the result of it all. In verses 42 through 44, all were satisfied. Okay, now it wouldn't be much of a miracle if everyone was still hungry afterwards. They just had one little tiny bite. One little tiny bite is not going to satisfy. In other words, if everyone just got a little bite of bread with a smear of fish on it, They're not going to be too satisfied at all. But in verses 42 through 44, they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Okay. Now, at first, nobody realized the miracle. But when they saw the baskets full of bread and fish being taken up, 12 baskets full, suddenly the realization is there. The realization is there. It's one thing to have a few leftovers. Okay? It's quite another thing to have your pantries completely refilled, because it is a miracle. Now, it's no small miracle either. As I said, all four gospel accounts record this notable miracle. And again, 5,000 men. Now, as I've taught before about over in Acts, we have the ordination of the deacons and call the deacons for the office. They used the word andres, okay, which is the plural for men or males. Okay, this is specifically 500 males. Doesn't mean that there weren't women and children there. Okay, in fact, Matthew's gospel tells us 5,000 males in addition to women and children. They're all there. So you have that very baseline number of 5,000 men plus that is there, that has taken place. So why 12 baskets? Like I said, because the 12 disciples grabbed a basket each and collected the remains, which filled up those baskets. So this is what kind of compassion and care. You see this notable miracle that's been done by Christ. He provides for all of the flock of God there. He provides for them way more beyond what was actually needed to fulfill and fill the bellies of this multitude. It was an overabundance of food that is there. There's more than enough. They can begin taking some home with them for the night. 12 baskets full still. And so here Jesus provides spiritual food as well as physical food. He meets all of our needs. Now, if you've ever done any street evangelism, and I have many, many times as well, but one of the things that they try to tell you when you're beginning to do kind of street evangelism is that if you're out on the streets, I've been to New Orleans, I've done that, and I've done in front of the Alamo down in San Antonio, Texas, I've done all this kind of stuff. But if you have a person who is truly starving, I mean, you can hear their stomach rumbling and they're trying. They said, look, you know, I really need something just to eat. I mean, if you just grab a bun out of McDonald's, I will take the bun from McDonald's. I mean, but it's hard to sometimes to share the gospel if they can't hear your presentation because of the growling of their stomachs. So there may come a time when you may want to give them, you know, a little bite to eat, okay? Yes, wisdom, I'm not saying hand out to everybody in front of Walmart, but there may be some who truly have a need. So we see this kind of this compassion that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's meeting not only their spiritual needs and spiritual food from the Word of God and the Gospel, but he also meets their physical one as well. Now remember this, Jesus is, of course, the compassionate shepherd. He is the good shepherd of the Word of God, and he cares for his sheep, meaning he cares for you. He cares for you. And that is a blessing. That is a wonder that he cares for us. He loves you. He provides for your needs. He cares all about you. And that's an encouragement for the body of Christ, because he is the good shepherd. He is your shepherd. I'm a pastor. Yes, I'm under shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who meets your every need, including your need of salvation. He's the one who meets all of those needs because he loves you and he cares for you and he reaches out to us every single day. One sad thing here in this miracle, and I haven't said all that, some, as I pointed out in the past when dealing in Matthew, some later will only follow Jesus because of the multiplication of the bread and the fish. They only follow him because of the physical food, when what they really need is not what they are seeking. They need Christ himself. Yes, they think that, well, you know what, let's follow him as long as we can get a free meal, but they need Jesus Christ. They need the bread of heaven that satisfies forever and ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you ever feel as if you're sometimes all alone? And sometimes people do. They may feel like we're all alone, but do you ever feel abandoned? Do you ever feel like you've been set aside? Do you feel as if nobody really cares for you? But you can take heart. If you're a child of God, He cares for you. And He loves you, and He cares for you, and He meets your needs, and Jesus takes care of us. When you take your next bite of food, when you take your next drink to satisfy your thirst, your physical needs, you take that next bite, your next sip, don't forget that it all comes from the hand of Christ, who is a compassionate good shepherd. It all comes from His hands. Okay, it all comes from Him because He cares for you. And so when you can't figure out, when it gets down to it, you can't figure out what on earth is happening in your life, Jesus cares for you, and He knows. He will take His holy shepherd's staff. Remember that shepherd's staff that the shepherd uses to pull the sheep in the proper direction again? He'll pull you back in the direction that you should go. When your life seems to get so out of control that you don't know if you're going to be able to handle, I can't handle one day more. One more day, I cannot do it. Jesus will lead you beside still waters. Where's peace, right? So you go to Him and you cry out. And so tell Him. Tell Him, I can't handle anymore. Tell Him. He knows. And He's with you. And you can. And He will be with you. So you pray to Him. You cry out to Him. You go to your holy shepherd who knows your name. He knows the sheep by name. He knows your name. And that's a wonder, right? He knows all the sheep by name. Every single one of them on this planet who has ever lived or will live, He knows His sheep by name. And He loves you. And we read in the Psalms, or Proverbs, sorry, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Just like the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. So we go to Him, we trust in Him, and He directs us. He guides us beside still waters, yes, through the valleys of the shadow of death, yes, through those mountaintops of joy, but we go to Him and we trust in Him because He is Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Good Shepherd Himself, and all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have the word of the Good Shepherd. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for Thy holy word. We thank You for Christ Jesus, who is our Good Shepherd. And Father, I do pray for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord, and for those who may be at home as well. Father, some are going through some trials and of their faith, Lord, and some are going through some great valleys, Father, we don't always understand, Lord. But You know You love us. You care for us. So, Lord, take Your shepherd's hook and guide us and direct us in the path that we walk. Oh, Lord, even as we enter into the very footsteps of Christ in our sufferings, Lord, that they would follow after our good shepherd who loves us, who calls us, who knows us by name. And, Father, help us to truly always be thankful for Your grace that You reveal to us through Your Son and by Your Holy Spirit. Quicken Thy word unto our hearts, O Lord. Grant, Lord, peace where there is chaos. Lord, grant, Lord, strengthening where there is weakness. Healing for those who are sick, O Lord, we pray that You be glorified in all that is done. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.